Welcome to Family Talk.
All of us desire peace, yet most of us never seem to find the true peace that the Bible says passes all understanding. Well, on today's edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk, we'll hear from Whitley Phipps, who will share with all of us how we can experience the true peace of God. Hello, everyone. Welcome to another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Ryan Dobson, and we are excited to share with you a very special interview with Grammy Award-winning vocal artist Whitley Phipps. A few months ago, Dr. Meg Meeker talked with Whitley about his career in music, what it was like to sing for Billy Graham's Crusades, and how he went from growing up a disadvantaged youth to singing for presidents. Whitley Phipps is most well known for the rendition of Amazing Grace that has been viewed over 7 million times on YouTube. Although he continues to perform music, his main focus is the founder and CEO of the U.S. Dream Academy, which is helping our children reach their dreams through academic, social, and values enrichment. In just a moment, we'll get to his story. But before we jump in, let me share with you about an exciting opportunity that is only available this month. For the month of July, we have handpicked two resources to help you or someone you love raise a strong-willed child. For every donation we receive this month, we'll say thank you by sending you my dad's book, The New Strong-Willed Child, along with a corresponding DVD from our new Building a Family Legacy film series. To stand with Family Talk on behalf of families, give today by calling 877-732-6825 or clicking the banner at drjamesdobson.org. Let's get to the program now. Here is Dr. Meg Meeker as she begins her interview with Whitley Phipps on today's edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Dr. Phipps, thank you so much for being with me today.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Great to be with you.
Whitley, you have lived an extraordinary life. You were born in Trinidad, and then you moved to Canada later on in life. When did you know that God had something special in mind for you?
Well, there are two things that happened that I think really was God's way of speaking to me. I tell people when you're a child, the only way that you experience God sometimes is through the dreams that he gives you, the impressions that touch your heart. And for me, I was born to a troubled home, and I would get away from my parents' troubles. I had a little red tricycle, and I would go in the backyard of my house and turn the tricycle on its side, and I would use one of the backside wheels as a steering wheel.
Your own airplane.
Yes, and I would sit there for hours, and I would dream that I was flying to faraway places in the world and meeting important people. I think as a child searching for meaning and significance, I probably in my own childish way thought that if I could travel the world and meet important people, maybe that meant I was important too. And then there was another interesting thing that happened to me. I must have been about 8 years old. There was in Trinidad a radio show that featured little children. And I was asked to sing a little song. Of course, I didn't have the voice I have today. I just had a child's voice. And I remember the moment that I heard my voice coming over the radio for the first time. And there was this real strong sense that there was going, I was almost experiencing a foretaste of what was to come.
Wow.
And you know, I kind of hid that in my heart as well. But at the age of 10 years old, we moved to Montreal, Canada, and I tell people I went from palm trees to ice.
And you did.
I wanted to be a part of my new country and new friends, and so I joined the hockey team. And because I couldn't skate very well, of course, they made me goalie. And a goalie doesn't have to skate very far. And I tell people, if you can't wrap your mind around that, just think Jamaican bobsled, and maybe that'll help you understand it a little bit more. But those were very important seminal moments for me. But at the age of about 15 years old, I almost overnight woke up talking like this. My voice just became very low, and and it was almost freakish for a little lanky kid to be, you know, speaking with this sound coming out of his mouth, and also that gave me a sense that there was something special going on. But at the time, I have to confess, I'm a child of the 60s, so musically, I wanted to be another Sly Stone, and I know most of your listeners won't know who that is.
But I know. That's right.
But at 15, I met Sly, and he was stoned, and I said, no, something's wrong with this picture. my hero is incoherent, you know? And I put on a tuxedo, and I tried to be like my next musical hero. And I'll tell you this quick funny story. When I, my wife and I, we've been married 39 years, and for our 34th wedding anniversary, I said to my wife, you know, honey, when my voice changed, I didn't have any voice teachers, but I found my voice teacher on the radio. And I would listen to this voice on the radio, and I would practice sounding like this voice on the radio, not knowing that I was developing great vocal technique by listening to this voice, and I was developing good vocal mechanics. And so for our 34th wedding anniversary, I said to my wife, my voice teacher on the radio, I wonder if he's still in concert. And I Googled, and lo and behold, he was in concert. So I booked concert tickets and airline tickets, and something told me, send him a message.
Yes.
So I sent him an email, and I said, sir, when I turned 15, my voice changed, and I didn't have any voice teachers, but you became my voice teacher on the radio. I said, you have been my musical inspiration. You have been my musical North Star, and I want to tell you all that I've gone on to do with that inspiration. And I shared with him that I'd sung for the last six presidents of the United States, and last one to sing Amazing Grace for Mother Teresa. And and I said, I may not get to see you, but I want to thank you. Well, I got an email back from him saying, Sir Tom Jones would like to see you and your wife when you come to Las Vegas.
So
that's how I learned to sing up in Canada. And his eyes grew real big when I walked into the green room. I said, it's not unusual to be loved by anyone, you know. And so, but that's how. But I met, when I met Tom Jones first, I experienced, he had the world at his feet. But he wasn't happy, and I couldn't figure this out. How is it that my heroes had fame, money, women at their feet, but they were not happy people? And so at the age of 16, I did something unusual for a 16-year-old kid. I got down on my knees, and I gave my life to Christ, and I said, God, whatever you want me to do, I'll do. And God said to my heart, I've seen your dreams. Give me your dreams, and I'll let you glimpse what I've been dreaming for you.
Did anyone prompt you, teach you about the Lord? Did anyone say, you know, you're a young kid, you're 16 years old, you know, this is why people like Tom Jones aren't happy, because money and women and fame doesn't do it, but Christ does? Or is that something that God just led you to?
God led me to that.
I mean, I
grew up singing in church, but those kinds of decisions, or I should say those kinds of understandings, sometimes they are not taught, they're caught.
Yes.
Sometimes,
yes.
You know, and I needed to see Sly Stone, or this rock hero, spaced out. You know, when I saw it, I'm sure you could read about it or hear about it, but when you see it in the flesh, it has an impression on you that is profound. And so I was very fortunate to be able to see my heroes early and deduce that, you know, if that's where that path takes you, I know I don't want to end up there.
Wow.
So there's got to be another way, and God showed me another way.
And how lovely that you seem to have a very intimate, deep, personal relationship with God so early on. And that's so inspiring, because God really had his hand on you and was chasing you and encouraging you, and to say, here are your dreams, I'm going to help you with your dreams. You said something profound that I heard, and I wanted to ask you about it later, but as you're speaking, it almost sounds like it's your sort of personal testimony. It really hit me. You said, it is in the quiet crucible of your personal private sufferings that your noblest dreams are born and God's greatest gifts are given in compensation for what you've been through. Is that your life?
Yes, that is my life. That is my life. I think the crucible of an unhappy home as a child, it was as though God saw that and gave me a blessing of this gift in compensation.
Yes.
For what I had endured. Let me give you an amazing story. I had an aunt. Both of my parents have been deceased for quite a while, and I had an aunt that came by to see me recently, who I hadn't seen for many years, and she was walking around my home looking at the pictures with all the presidents and Oprah and Mother Teresa and just taking in what God had done in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And she began to tell me something that was very profound. She said to me, before you were born, I was born in 1955. She said, in 1953, your father, her brother, your father and I had a sister who died while having an abortion in 1953.
Mm.
And when your mother became pregnant with you, there were many who wanted her, your mother, to have an abortion. But because of the grief that our family had gone through with that sister dying, my father's sisters became a unified force to say, no, this was not going to happen. We are not going to go through anything like this again.
Yeah.
And as I listened to that, it dawned on me that this aunt that I'd never met, because she died, I lived.
Mm.
And that is a very profound moment. It was a very profound moment for me.
Yes.
To recognize that because she died, it made it possible for whatever gifts God had given me, that they would be heard by the world.
Mm.
And that this voice that has been, through God, has touched millions of people, would not be silenced.
Mm.
And so it was just a very, very profound moment for me.
That is. And you were an adult, obviously.
It was just recently.
Just recently.
A few weeks ago, really. Yeah, so
wow.
You can imagine, I never knew that.
No.
Yeah.
You know, Windley, having talked with you, one of the things that is so remarkable about you and inspiring, and I kept trying to put my finger on it, you've had this extraordinary career. God has graced you with a presence, or graced presidents with your presence, and, you know, Oprah and people like that. But I think one of the things that's so extraordinary about you is you're very clear about your wholehearted dependence on God for everything. You
Yes.
told me how God gave you literally the land that your home is on today. God gave you an airline attendant to launch your singing career. And that is so inspiring and intriguing, and it makes me want to just be that much more dependent on God as well. Tell us about the cassette tape on Eastern Airlines, if you would, please.
Sure. I'll share that with you, but you said something very important, and that is my dependence on God. I want you to know that the reason that God has blessed me with all of the successes that I have been blessed to have comes back from a moment when I was in college down in Huntsville, Alabama, going to a Christian school called Oakwood College. Mm. And a very prominent African-American preacher by the name of Dr. E.E. Cleveland came down to speak to the students. And as they were introducing him, reading his long list of accomplishments, I was watching him because he was going through a very interesting ritual to me. He had his hand on his chin. He had his eyes closed, his head bowed. He was rocking back and forth like he wasn't even listening to the introduction, and he was patting his feet. And when he got up to speak, he soared. I mean, it was incredible. Mm. And I, as a 17, 18-year-old kid, I deduced again that perhaps his soaring had something to do with his pre-flight checklist.
Yeah.
In other words, whatever he was doing in that ritual, I connected it with his amazing presentation. So when they would ask me at, 17, 18, 19 years old, when they'd ask me to sing for worship at the girls' dorm or something, and they would introduce me, I would put my hand on my chin, I would close my eyes, and I would rock back and forth and pat my little feet.
Uh-huh.
And little did I know that I was entering into what would become the secret of all of the successes God has allowed me to have, and that is I was learning to go to the mountain before I went to the multitude. So that when I came down off the mountain, whether it was to share in word or song, that my face was shining, that my voice had a quality that I could never get from just calisthenics or rehearsal.
No.
And so the secret of the blessings God has given me is that when people hear me singing, they hear more than just a voice. They hear someone who is depending upon God for his gift to shine.
Do you feel God's presence when you sing?
Absolutely. I tell people often that, when God created man, he gave to us and gave to Adam the ability to see the face of Christ,
yeah,
and commune face to face with God. But when Adam sinned, a veil descended between the face of God and man and the eyes of man. And no longer were we and have we been able to see the face of God. But God, I believe, in his grace and mercy, has left us with one unique, powerful dimension through which we can experience his reality, and that is, I believe God has given to us the ability to literally, physically feel and sense the approach and the presence of God. To me, it's almost as though when God walks into a room, as it were, that the molecular makeup of the room changes.
Yes.
And you feel it, you sense it. Or I don't know if you've ever walked into, every person really, every human being, there is a sense or an aura or an atmosphere that surrounds them, and it's charged often with either life or death in it.
Yes.
And when it is a life that is communing with and calling upon God, earnestly crying out to him for his anointing and his presence, when you go into that person's presence, you sense something different. And that's what I have always wanted for my music and my singing, that presence be my badge of distinction, the thing
yes.
that set me apart. I didn't want to be the person that could sing the lowest note or anything.
Though you probably are.
But I just wanted, when someone or people listened, that they had the same feeling like those disciples on the road to Emmaus, you know, when they said, "Wow, did not our hearts burn within us as we talked together and worshiped together?"
Yes. You're describing this, and I see an experience in you when you're singing exactly what you're describing. As a matter of fact, you talk about God's presence being so overwhelming in the using of your gifts. When you're not singing, do you feel that same presence of God?
Oh, yes. And I think I heard a quote once, and I think I'll share it this way, that I am probably going to be known in heaven, should the Lord allow me to get there one day, as the one who would often pound at the gates of heaven with his prayers, you know.
Mm.
In other words, I don't think that there is an hour that goes by that I do not call out to God and cry out to God, because I know I need him so much. And God in his mercy allows me to be blessed with this overwhelming peace. You know, the Bible calls mm-hmm. it that peace that passeth understanding. And yes, I experience it not just when I'm ministering, but I experience it when I'm alone as well.
Wentley Phipps is right. Prayer is important. But more than that, it's vital for all of us to continually seek and ask the Lord to overwhelm us with his presence. It is only then that each of us can experience the peace that passes all understanding, which is something I think we all long for. We've been listening to the first part of an interview with Dr. Meg Meeker and Wentley Phipps here on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Ryan Dobson, and for more information about Wentley and his organization, the U.S. Dream Academy, visit our website, drjamesdobson.org, or call us at 877-732-6825. And when you contact us, don't forget the offer I mentioned at the top of the program. For the month of July, we have two resources to help you or someone you love raise a strong-willed child. We've got my dad's book, The New Strong-Willed Child, along with a DVD from our Building a Family Legacy film series. To stand with Family Talk on behalf of families, give today by calling 877-732-6825 or click the banner on our website, drjamesdobson.org. Also, today we're hosting a contest on Facebook that you'll want to check out. Search for Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk on Facebook to see what you can win today. This is Ryan Dobson saying God bless, thanks for listening, and here's a clip from what's coming up next time as we have part two of our interview with Wentley Phipps right here on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
One night of the crusade, which is a precious memory, the Russian Red Army chorus closed the crusade evening singing the battle hymn of the Republic.
No.
So to hear this communist country chorus singing "His truth is marching on."
Only God.
It was an amazing moment.
Were people in Moscow at that time open to what Dr. Graham had to say and open to the gospel message?
Oh, yes. It was amazing. There were actually 100,000 people inside the Olympic Stadium listening to him, and there were tens of thousands on the outside in the winter, watching widescreen televisions in the snow.
Wow.
You know, so it was an amazing reception, and it's one I'm so honored that I was able to see that for myself and to be a part of it.
Family Talk is not associated with Focus on the Family.
Hello, everyone. I'm James Dobson. For those of you who enjoy our radio program, Family Talk, I have some good news. When you're not able to hear Family Talk right here on your favorite Christian radio station, you can catch us 24 hours a day by downloading the new and free Family Talk mobile app. Visit your app marketplace to download it today. And thanks for listening to Family Talk.